to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Good morning, Columbia CSL, and those joining in from far and wide as we lend our ears and just breathe and trust that we will hear exactly what it is we need to in order to take the next step in our journey. Thank you, Zita, Eamon, Idalia, and Jesse. Oh, I'm already primed, aren't you? You know, our theme, as Eamon said, this month is play. An opportunity to see so much more of ourselves, where we respond with seriousness, how we hold the playful side of ourselves back, believing it will perhaps offend or be judged inappropriate. On the other hand, in gratitude for the magic it weaves. I know when I look back on my life as to how I used my playful side, I realized that it was born out of a survival need to diffuse potential or existing conflict and keep the peace so that I would feel safe. It now rises in me from a deep sense of unbound joy. I call blessed in whatever moment it may show up. But you know, in the real world, this really very serious world of ours, play is not regarded as imperative to our survival, nor has it earned, I don't feel, its rightful seat at the table. So today's topic is opening our presence, and the playful spirit can serve us well, guiding us to allow our imaginations to run wild. But when our creative imagination is paired with intention, it can be a powerful alchemical mixture, demonstrating that the action of the universal creative process works through us. We prove this principle of unity and therefore trust that life doesn't do it to us, but as us. It is said that the gift has already been given, but it is up to us to open this gift. So before we dive into this idea of the powerful pairing of imagination with intention, let's begin with the gift of presence. So I ask you this question: what does being in the presence feel like? What is it to be, no, let me rephrase that. What is to be received by opening our presence? That's it. What is to be received by opening our presence? And the third question, what stops us from choosing being presence? What stops us from choosing being presence? Perhaps our thought about what it is supposed to look like or feel like, or what we are supposed to look like, think like, and act like in order to access presence. We know that presence is a common visitor, often when we least expect it. Perhaps we simply need a different approach, such as our imagination, to link us to the presence. Imagination resides in our subjective or subconscious mind, along with intuition, memory, collective consciousness, as do our core belief patterns, which create our reality. Thomas Troward, who was the author of many books and works that influenced the New Thought movement and mystic Christianity, writes much about subjective and objective mind and how they work together. I pulled some of his teachings out to share with you today. He says, why does the subjective mind, the creative medium of mind, being that part which is subjective to the infinite universal storehouse of all knowing, not keep our objective mind informed on all points? He answers, it would do so if the objective mind were sufficiently trained to recognize the indications given. This training is the purpose of mental science. Our subjective mind or subconscious is the supporter of the whole individuality and is what prompts the objective mind into spontaneous thought and movement in the right direction without the objective mind being consciously aware. However, sometimes the objective mind, when the urgency seems to demand it or for reasons unknown, is in closer touch with the subjective mind, and the interior voice is heard strongly and persistently. Now, we call this intuition. Troward refers to that as God speaking. Our intuition is God speaking. Now, we know what happens when we follow it, right? And we know what happens when we don't. So when we surrender and listen, we are building a path to truth with spirit as its source. Here is where imagination comes to play. Imagination diverts us off track so that we can mentally breathe and become more objective to a situation, a condition that we have seen as a power greater than we are. Imagination opens us up to the quantum field of possibilities in which exists many solutions and many new questions. So if we are to open our presence, meaning the fullness of our individuality authentically expressed in an aware and accepting fashion, then we know whatever is up, that spirit is working through us and as us. And then the hyper-reactivity we have a tendency to fall into becomes seen as relevant and valuable as indications for recentering. You know, how would I say this? How extraordinary it feels when we're clear about something. And then from that clarity, we let go and trust all is happening perfectly to manifest the perfect outcome. And then if that wasn't enough of a delicious experience, we are aware enough to stand witness to the creative process having worked through us, and we get to an outcome even grander than we could have ever imagined. Yes. I know you know that experience, and that experience is not a miracle. It is an ordinary. It is the law of cause and effect that we have set in motion based upon our right of consciousness or the mindset we bring into the decision-making process. Now, these are the times we feel near stunned, that we actually have contributed through our clear intention to create basically heaven and earth to move. But how do we reach such clear intention? So I believe intentions spring from the quality of our consciousness. And we are the ones qualifying our consciousness by virtue of our demonstrations. Or maybe by virtue of something else. Since consciousness is the capacity of perception and understanding, then what creates the quality of our consciousness? Is it knowledge alone? Or does imagination and intuition play an integral role in expanding our capacity of understanding and perception? Perhaps it is being guided by the call or the voice of our beloved. Recently, I was in a conversation with a colleague, and we got off on this imaginary tangent, you know, building upon the last thing said by the other. And as the imagination in us grew, so too did our appeal for nonsense, the irrational, and inappropriateness, until our laughter consumed our words and ended, really, our ability to think. And this is what I took away from that moment. Life is a grab bag. We are innately curious enough to always stick our hand into that bag of mystery to see what we will find or pull out, aren't we? And sometimes, oh, it's yucky, sticky, and can even be smelly or vile to our senses. But what do? We put our hand in again. Why? Because we believe, we have faith in something better, something more than our last experience. This is because we are born with the inherent desire to create and the ability to do so. It is in our spiritual DNA. Curiosity, belief, trust, and faith is innate in us because life, spirit, breath, source, infinite intelligence lives through us and as us. And like spirit, like our source, we too are ever expanding and evolving, and we simply must put our hand back into the bag, the dark unknown, the mystery, the void. Oh, powerful teacher Jean Houston says, we are a part of a quantum process where everything is related to everything else. Imagination touches into the quantum possibilities and our boundaries are immediately pushed and we become the difference that makes the difference. Albert Einstein says, imagination is one of the most advanced human faculties. It is greater than knowledge. And he describes two kinds of imagination. The image-making power of the mind, he says, the act of creating or reproducing ideally an object which is not previously perceived in this moment. The ability to create such images is called reproductive imagination. Now, this kind of experience you might have had when experiencing a guided visualization, you know, where someone speaks words, creates objects that you didn't previously think about, but that you can wrap your mind around because you've had previous experience about, and recreate that experience in the moment, right? Now, the art of creating a new thought period is called productive imagination. This experience can be found through the practice of meditation and visioning. And productive, or I like to call it creative imagination, is that imagination where you allow yourself to listen and be guided by whatever you hear, not another person's voice, not preconceptions, not intentions, not desires. You just open and allow the one mind to take you where it may. And it's this type of imagination practice that I am emphasizing in the powerful pairing with intention. So I'd like you to go into a visualization with me to experience reproductive imagination. So imagine you are driving down a country road at night and the fog sets in. And as it clears, a semi is headed your way. Now, do you take time to analyze how you get to the other side of the road? Do you take time to contemplate the inner driver within, or do you take immediate action to change course? When our lives seem foggy, we need to be cultivating our mental atmosphere to be ready to swerve at a second's notice when the fog lifts. Ah, imagination. Imagination. As we cultivate and practice productive imagination, we actually recalibrate the energy of our mind and body so that we can cultivate that very mental atmosphere that allows us to swerve at a second's notice when the fog lifts, or in other terms, so that we can access and activate and be guided by the infinite spiritual intelligence within. Does the vibrational energy level in our bodies give us access to our potential, our high frequency thoughts? Indeed it does. You know, part of us is an energetic bandwidth of consciousness, emotions, matter, and of spirit. We're learning to activate these bandwidths together. And our job is to create the energetic vibration before an event happens as a sense of fulfillment, peace, and cheerful expectancy. To support this process, it would be advantageous to observe our patterns of pace in life. What is our own rhythm? And adjust up or down when off center. Or, as Dr. Edward Villon mentioned in his video, to the speed of love. I love that. Adjust up or down when off center to the speed of love, so as to be poised to hear the call. Now, you'll all remember the biblical story of the fall. And in this story, it is cited that there were two trees, one of knowledge, of duality, and one of eternal life. The story goes that the fruit from the tree of knowledge was consumed instead of the fruit of eternal life being savored. Here's a story by Dr. Maria Namath, who's an author and personal development coach. She was a speaker at a conference, at the Asilomar Conference, long past now, but told such a memorable story. It's about a hot fudge sundae. Of course, I remember it because I'm a foodie, right? But she told it to demonstrate the different ways we feed our hunger to open our presence and experience the beloved living through and as us. So it goes like this. She and a friend went out for lunch and they ordered the same. And now she's waiting for this sundae, you know, surfing the diner for any signs of movement that looks like it could be supporting her ice cream sundae. Her friend, meanwhile, is sharing with her an incident of the day. Now she spots the waitress and begins signaling her, you know, as if a stewardess on WestJet does, you know, while her friends, or her friend rather, is quietly checking in her purse just for something to show her. Well, the ice cream arrives and the nonstop, don't take a breath, automatic delving mechanism begins to engage, right? While the friend savors each mouthful, taking time in between to share the discovery of each tasteful sensation she's experiencing. Now, when all but the bowl has been licked clean, the friend declares her delight and pushes away her half-eaten sundae right over to the consumptive one. When all is said and done, there is one satisfied and content friend and one overly bloated and hyper counterpart. Now, what is interesting is that the friend is satisfied with her experience because she was present to savor, to stay in the pleasure and discovery of eating, not desiring a repeat experience anytime soon, while the bloated one would probably order the very same sundae the next day because she had no memory of her experience due to her automatic consumptive manner. So in order to ground our creative imagination, our playing in the quantum field energy of infinite possibility, savoring life allows us to focus our energy towards a clear intention. Intentions are powerful transmitters of energy into the realization of a specific outcome. Intentions can also transform insurmountable mountains into workable hills. They can propel us forward. They can help us to grow our belief in ourselves and inform us of what is truly our want and or truly our need. Now, most often we associate an intention with a goal in the material sense, the actions needed to manifest that goal and the impact it makes. We most often research and call on statistics, probably averages, etc., but how dialing it up and calling in our creative imagination and intuitive sensing might increase that higher vibrational level within our mind-body connection, within our connection to that quantum field of possibilities. Here's a couple of stories I'd like to share with you that illustrate opening our presence. I'm sure many of you are aware of the author Araya Mountain Dreamer. Now, she was on a vision quest to hear the voice and to gain knowledge of direction of service for herself. She was told that this is not the way, 7 days at the 40. Go home, Araya. What you are searching for is not here. You will not find the voice of the beloved through ordeal. And she went home. Now, conversely, my call to ministry happened in Stanley Park, British Columbia, in a meditation that I was called to spontaneously partake in by myself. The voice of the beloved came to me, and it said, "Come here." I'm remembering it. "Come here. You are meant to be here. Go home, go now, and make ready. And don't worry about any obstacles, as I will help you surmount them as always. This is where you are meant to be. Go now." Now, I did so. I went right home from Vancouver to Calgary. I packed my bags. I dispersed whatever acquisitions I had, including my clown empire that I had built over several years. And within 6 weeks, which was the timing the voice gave me, was living in British Columbia. I took a suitcase, a clown trunk, and my massage table, because at the time I was a masseuse. And the rest was to come in a moving van. And I was there. I followed the call. Now, the summary of these two stories is that Araya was trying to consume life, driving, searching, sacrificing to gain the beloved. Now, I simply, while savoring life, stumbled upon it. Please observe, however, this, and this is of great import. Both of us listened and took action. So is it your time to open your presence, to be spirit-led and fed? Remember, if it is, that your spiritual evolution involves the breaking up of something. You can't enjoy the egg unless you break the shell. Remember that. Remember that when you ignore the call, you stagnate. And sometimes the only route to gain your equilibrium, right, your spiritual well-being, is to collapse, to release the buildup, the blockage of your passion, your thirst. Right? The call engages us at a level where we can joyfully live in the face of the sorrows of the world, where we can and do master where we are. And then in the loving spiritual life, we cannot despise the earthly or hidden things, because everything within the occurrence of effect is the pearl of truth, right? The first cause, the divine loving presence. So when we move past these ideas of opposites, we have reached compassion, we have healed the wounds of separation from God within us, and we can enter the depths of our fears, where we can become the anointed one, open our presence. We are called to joyfully participate in the sorrows of the world. We can't change what is outside of us in its mess, but we can embrace its inherent perfection, for God is everywhere present. There is no place God is not, that the infinite creative potential is not. Today marks spring equinox, the time when the hours of daylight and dark are equally balanced. overall marking a time of balance and wholeness. It is a time of spring where the birthing process and the universal cycle of creativity is here for us to observe and delight in. Ah, we're in a prime position to be poised and expectant in the faith of this grand all-encompassing demonstration of beauty and newness in our own lives. There are times, as Dr. Holmes reminds us, that it is easier to have faith and practice the principles of this teaching. And they are when things feel great, when there's beauty all around us, than when we feel downtrodden. But remember also, things aren't always as they seem. They're better. I'd like to adhere to Forrest Gump's philosophy. Life is like a box of chocolates. If you don't like the one you got, just put it back and try another. The privilege of a lifetime is being who you are. Life itself is without meaning. We bring meaning to it. And as Jesse sang, being alive, right, is the best thing. It is the voice of the beloved calling us to open our presence. Our imagination is a portal through which we can enter the mystery and touch the infinite. Paired with intention, we prove that spirit presence works through us and as us. And when intentions are born in the quantum field of possibility, we end up with spiritual intentions, meaning we are in alignment with our soul's desires rather than our limited mindset born of repetitious thought, creating and demonstrating more familiar experiences rather than expansive and expressive ones. This is the journey, my friend, of every wise sage, a journey that must be made to merge our divinity into our human experience, opening our presence. And so it is.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.